Amen. Awesome job, guys. Give me those stands back a little bit. Give me some room. So what's up, guys? Different preacher. Couple heads of the band. I might be fired. If you guys are new here, I'm usually doing that, so I'm a little bit of like a fish out of water here. Pastor Mike, if you guys hadn't heard, he's a very, very talented, gifted speaker, so I'm not going to attempt to fill his shoes. I think God's given me a good message today, and so I'm going to sit down and just talk to you guys. You know, church isn't about the building or, you know, about all these religious things that we do. I mean, we can do this sitting in our living room, at a park, outside, by the lake, or wherever. Church is us, is the body. Amen. So, you guys, bear with me. I'm going to try to keep you awake. Like I said, I'm not the most gifted of speakers. But if you bear with me and get through this with me, I think you'll hear a pretty good message here today. Actually, can we just start off with a prayer? Heavenly Father, just thank you for this day. Thank you for your abundance of grace and mercy that you give us each day. Father, just pray for open ears, open hearts and souls that they hear what's delivered today is out of love, out of honor for them, and to help us all just further us in your kingdom and get us to that epic life that we're all trying to achieve. In Jesus' name, amen. So, can we give a round of applause to the band? Own Little's out. It's not too bad for a 17-year-old and 15-year-old leading all these men. Almost said old, but I got my old man glasses on. So we're in the second week of Fear Factor as we got the slide up here. Last week, Joey did an awesome job illustrating a proper use of the word fear when applying to God. This made it clear in how we should view God as not a huge angry tyrant in the sky, but a God of love and honor. The type of fear that we should have for him should be of reverence and of honor, the same type of reverence and honor that we would give for a dear friend or a loved one. I love the illustration he used. Do you want to hurt a loved one? That's how we kind of, you know, when we go to do something, maybe we should think, oh, do we want to whip Jesus again with this or something like that? And when we view him as a friend or a loved one, that kind of changes kind of our view on how we might want to treat him. So with that song, Carry His Name, who of you will carry his name out into the world? And if you're not, why? So can we pull up that chorus, please? I know this is kind of different from what we usually do, the chorus of that song. Because the reason I love this song and I wanted it part of this message is because it's a proclamation. It's stating over and over, I will carry your name, I will carry your name, Jesus, your name forever. And I just wanted to kind of go back. I wanted to restate some of those words because a lot of times we don't talk about Jesus. We don't talk about certain situations. And it's out of not any lacking on Jesus' part. It's usually out of fear of what somebody might say or somebody might feel, or maybe we'll hurt their feelings if we actually make a stance and take a stance on something. And I'll get into all that here in a little bit. But we'll go back to the fear factor slide. And your guides, in your worship guides, if you notice, I didn't really have actually points to fill out, but what I had in there is actually key verses that I want you guys to take home with you. I put quite a few. They're not all there for my sermon today, but there's like three key verses I want you guys to take home, as well as some other ones that I just want you guys to take. I felt led to give that to you, and so you can read them, memorize them, study them, whatever you want, guys would like to do. So who of you will carry his name out to the world, and if you are not, why? And that could be fear of man. Worry, 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 and worry. We live with so many preoccupations about ourselves. Is my hair all right? Do my clothes make me look fat? Maybe a little bit. Did I say the wrong thing just now? Do they think I'm an idiot? Or am I being admired right now? Is my superior degree and intellect coming through? Do people look at me as a spiritual giant? What if I'm saying something about the gospel? Will that offend someone? What about Jesus and about salvation? Why do we do this to ourselves? Let's look at what the Word says. In 1 Samuel 16, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart.'" So right off the bat here, God has established the fact that he by no means is earthly and therefore does not share the same views as man. Let me hit you with a question here that I kind of want you to think about through the message today. If we are a child of Christ, if we're born again, Holy Spirit residing in us, why aren't we so concerned with the flesh? Kind of keep that locked away in your mind for a little bit. Next is our key scripture of today. It's Galatians 1:10. And this is pretty straightforward here. "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." So that's pretty bold statement and powerful proclamation in my eyes. So it hits hard. Paul is stating here that we can't please man and be a servant of Christ. That being said, a side effect of serving God is serving people, but we have to make sure it's in that right order and with the right heart and reverence, that we're doing it as an act of worship to God and not a worship of people. We put so much weight on judgment of man. What will we think if? What will she think if? What will my family think? And what will my boss think? It's so hard to shine the light of Christ when our troubles mirror the troubles of non-believers. I'm not saying that we won't have troubles here on earth. That would be foolish. We shine Christ's light in the matter in which we walk through our troubles. Through our troubles, we should never fear judgment of men or what men can do or not do to us. So, you guys with me so far? All right. I'm sorry I'm reading from this, but I want to make sure I let you know what God laid on my heart. So, Luke 12. "I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body and after that have nothing more that they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him who, after he is killed, has the authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him." So, why do we waste our time with so much fear of man when they have no bearing on our eternal life, our purpose in life, our spiritual gifts, and on and on? Could it be a faith issue? If we truly believe God to be what we know and have learned him to be, why would earthly things have so much value to us? If we truly believe that God is the ruler of our lives, why do we stay at jobs that we have no future at, or that's not God's calling for us? Why do we choose to torture ourselves to pleasure a self-centered boss or beat ourselves up when he or she gets angry with us? Why do we stay in relationships, for that matter, that we know are not God-appointed? I'm not really talking about husband and wives, but that can be it. But what I'm talking about is those relationships, everyday relationships from certain people that just bring us down. They're not God-appointed, and some of them are polar opposite of God. They cause us to die a little spiritually every day. Now, I'm not saying don't share the love of Christ. What I'm saying is, once you know that person has a hardened heart, they're no longer willing to hear the truth, it's okay to walk away. The Bible tells us we can dust off our feet and depart. God wants us to be healthy. Trying to make ourselves responsible for someone else's salvation or turning our back on God's word for a job or relationship is not healthy, especially if we're doing it in a way to where we are fearing man's actions or voice. There are more side effects to this than just our physical kind of being. In 1 Samuel, Saul said to Samuel, "I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice." So here, he's actually calling it sin. So if we're letting the outside world, the fear of people, guide us in our way, it can be a very, very dangerous and slippery slope. So simply put, Saul is saying, "I have broken the commandments of the Lord because I feared the people more than God." Or you could also say, in another way, in that moment, he loved the people more than he loved God. That's essentially what we do when God speaks to us and we ignore him just to please a person. We tell God, "We don't love you enough or honor or respect you enough to listen to you in this moment. We're going to go with the counsel of man and not of our own creator." Saul was scared of the people as well, so his fear was twofold. The fear that is referenced here with Saul is not a good fear. He feared, which was, he was scared of the people, so he obeyed them instead of the voice of the Lord. Now, is this hitting home with anyone? Have you ever been in a situation where you've listened or wanted to please man more than God, or have you heard God's voice and you ignored it because fear of people? No worries, I'm guilty. I've done that before. So to be clear here, I'm not saying rebel against your bosses. What I'm saying is if it's clear God has not called you there, this could be job, school, ministry, you name it, then why stay? It's because, one, fear of people. What will they say if I quit? Or I'll let them down. Again, these are examples. Where will my provision come from if I do leave? In a way, that's kind of idolatry. We're dependent on ourselves to provision for ourselves, which God is the provider. Let's see. What it comes down to is your love or drive or motivation to make others happy is more important than God. A God that has blessed you, he loves you so much that he gave his only son for you. And sometimes we won't even stand up for him in the smallest of opportunities and tell someone that Jesus loves them, or stand up and say, hey, this is morally wrong, or I won't accept being treated this way because I am a son and daughter of a king. Church, I'm going to talk straight to you this morning. It's time to stop being pushover Christians. It's time to be bold and stand up for our faith. Stop letting the media, television, internet, radio, books, etc. dictate our faith. Church, do you know that the world is starting to win the battle against Christianity? It's because they're being bold and we are not. It's as simple as that. Let's retire the air of pushover Christians and instead let the Word of God lead us on our way. Anybody with me on that? Man, we see it every day on the news. You know, you name it. People will do things or something, and they're imposing their will on our beliefs. And it's not right. And I don't hear enough people stand up saying, that's not right. That's not the truth. That's not the Word of God. That's not, nobody is standing up for our belief. Some more instruction from the Bible. I think this is short and sweet and awesome. It's in Ephesians 5, verse 10. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. This one statement, I think, can check us, our hearts, on most decisions we make, from getting dressed in the morning to the words that come of our mouth. How about our finances? How about before we make any major decisions, we stop and pray and ask this question, is this pleasing to the Lord? What a difference a small statement can make. Do you think God is pleased if you're in a situation where you're completely stressed all the time? Ask yourself, picture your child constantly beating his or her head against the wall every day, so stressed out that they can hardly think. What parent would want that child to stay in that situation? God is not any different. He has a calling for each and every one of us. We need to figure that out, pray, ask him to guide us. And just as Mike preached on finding rest, once we realize our calling, things that used to stress us out have no grip on us anymore. Or how about this one? Jeremiah 17, verse 5. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. Anybody here want to be cursed? No. That's a pretty bold, straightforward statement. Okay, good. I didn't see any hands. That's awesome. Proverbs 29. The fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. The fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. And then here's an even heavier scripture from the book of John. He's pretty good at talking straight to you. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? That's a big statement. That's a question, our faith statement. And I read that over and over and over and over and over, and I prayed about it. I mean, that just hit me real hard. John is challenging our belief and our faith. Whose glory are you seeking, church, man or God's? How can you say you're a child of God when you seek your glory from man? If you're still worried about the car you drive, the house you live in, the clothes you wear, you need to give your faith and heart a checkup. Don't get mad at me. I'm just saying what the Bible says. So I want to go back to our one of our key scriptures too, the Galatians 1:10. For am I now seeking the approval of man or God? Am I trying to please man? If I was still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Are we getting the idea yet? Fear of man is bad. So bad, in fact, the Bible, as we've seen, questions salvation if your heart is still tied up in approval of man. It's a huge statement. Now, I prayed about, you know, how I'm going to deliver that, but I'm just going to let the Bible deliver it. So you can't say Corey said this, Corey said that, but it really is a heart checkup. If we're saying we love God and we're on board with this God thing, and then right back Monday through Saturday, we're back in the world, being of the world, because there's a difference. We can be in the world and not of the world. And we just need to check our hearts on some of this stuff, guys. Go into the world, love on people, yes. Share Christ with them, yes. Bless people, yes. Share and partake in their lives, yes, yes, and yes. Fear people, no. There's a difference. We can love on them, bless on them, and shine the light of Christ without giving in to what we believe and what the Bible tells us to do. Our fear, reverence, and honor belongs to God. Anybody remember the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? I haven't heard that story since I was about knee-high to a grasshopper. But anyway, it's a perfect story of that. King Nebuchadnezzar comes up. He builds a statue out of gold. He plops it down. He pretty much tells everybody, anytime you hear a harp, a string instrument, or a horn, or whatever, I want you to bow down. I want you to worship this little statue. And they did. Most people did, except for these three. And then pretty soon, King Nebuchadnezzar got word, hey, these three guys, they're not even listening to you, dude. Like, you're telling them worship this statue, and they're like, nope. We know who our God is. So the Nebuchadnezzar pays them a visit and says, you will worship this gold statue or I'm going to throw you in the fire. And they said, go ahead. Their belief in God was not wavered. They did not fear the king. They knew who the proper fear belonged to, and that's God. And that's a good fear, reverence and honor, not scared of God. Anyway, he throws them in there. Nothing happens. The guys, he had turned the fire up so hot, the soldiers that had thrown them in had burned. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were unharmed. Fear of God is right and healthy. Man, and I went through that really fast. Can I go back to the top of it again? Now, but guys, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but the scripture, I don't know if it's hundreds, I don't want to lie in church. There's a lot of scriptures that just pointed to this. Don't fear man, don't fear man, don't fear man. God wants us to rest in him, find our peace and our love and our worship belongs to him. He created us. So guys, take that with you wherever we go. Let me see what else. I know I'll throw in a lot of kind of straightforward stuff, but here's an encouraging thing. 1 Thessalonians 2:4. But just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts. And it's saying here, it says, we have been approved. Can everybody say approved? By God. That's the Almighty, the creator of the universe, the creator of you, the creator of me. What other approval? Why do we need approval of man? We're approved by God. I want you guys to walk in that. We are approved already by God. Also, we have been entrusted, say entrusted, with the gospel. That is life-giving stuff that we can share with people. It's very important. Don't overlook that word of we've been entrusted with the gospel. It's an honor to be entrusted by God to tell his story. This story has a power to give life. What an honor that we have. So go out and speak, church, and do it, not to please man, but to please God that has put the very air in our lungs. So when you work and when you play, when you eat and when you drink and when you teach, when you do all things, remember these scriptures. Some of them we've talked about already. I just wanted to reemphasize these. Colossians 3, whatever you do, work heartily for the Lord and not for men. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. And Ephesians 5 again. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Keep going back to this. If we just stop when we're doing something, is this something that's pleasing to the Lord? Is this going to help bring light to the Lord? Is this going to help shine Christ's love to somebody? These things are essential in helping us shine the light of Christ. So guys, hearing this, I know that the message went by quick. I got some more. The band's going to play a song for you. So I just encourage you guys, don't relent. Don't let the public and don't let the people tell you or dictate your actions. Let the Word of God speak into your life. Let Him, we honor Him and He honors us. You know what I'm saying? So don't relent. Keep fighting a good fight, and I will be back. Can we invite Jesus to be the fire? Yes, clap. That was awesome, guys. Just got carried away there. Wanted to keep worshiping. Sit back down. Let's let you guys play some more. That was really good, guys. The Bible tells us one day that we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and all these things that seem so important now will melt away as we are undone by His glory and His power. His greatness and goodness will devastate us, and His eyes will expose everything we have ever done, good or bad. And we will be like Isaiah, falling down before Him like a dead man. I kind of, you picture, you know, when you mess up and then you look up and mom and dad are right there. I mean, that's kind of, it's not that you feel, you almost feel like, man, I kind of let you down on that one, didn't I? You know, and but imagine that magnified. God is completely good. Just standing there before, and that's why they're saying you fall down. I don't know, call me crazy, I've walked in a building before and I felt the presence and I wanted to do that. I just wanted to fall because I'm like, wow, you know, kind of that I'm not worthy kind of thing. And on that day, it won't matter to us what people have thought about us. And all the good opinions in the world won't weigh an ounce. And all the disapproval of people in the world won't mean a thing. Only His approval and only His acceptance will mean anything, and it will mean everything. And this is an amazing thing. This isn't all bad. Because of the gospel, because of what Christ has done for us, He will raise us up, and we will see in His eyes that we are accepted. For Christians on that day, our shame and nakedness will be covered by Christ's righteousness like a robe. We will see that God doesn't tolerate us or hold His nose up as He welcomes us into His kingdom. He loves us and accepts us and approves of us, all because of Christ and the gospel. And on that day, we will see that that is more than enough and it is everything. Walking in fear of the Lord will help us to see that now. Because of Christ, we are accepted by God. What more acceptance do we need? Because of Christ, we are loved by God. Do we need anyone else's love to be complete? And because of the gospel, we are freed from the snare of fearing what people think, and we can love people rather than fear them. and we can love people as well instead of needing their acceptance, as we are already accepted. We are freed from the constant inward gaze of self-consciousness and free to bend our gaze outward to see Christ and free to forget about ourselves and His presence. All that is ours now through the gospel. Living in the fear of the Lord is just that. God is big, we are small, others are small, and everything is in its right perspective. It should be our prayer to walk in the fear of the Lord, and as we do, we will know an amazing freedom from the fear of man. All this is trying to say is get things in the right perspective, guys. Man, we got a great God. He's done everything. He's laid the path for us. We are accepted. We don't need man's acceptance. We don't need women's acceptance. You know, we don't public accept. We've been accepted by God already to live the lives we're called to live. So I wanted to end this on a charge. I mean, who wants to live fear-free for man? Anybody? If you do, first step of boldness. Can you come up? I'm not going to ask you how to speak. If you rose your hand, come up here. There's nothing magical about the stage, but it shows that, man, we're not scared of the evil one who lies to us. So if you want to live from this day forward, man, let's leave the fear of people in the past. Let's live what God wants us to live. I invite you guys, come on up. Like I said, we're not going to embarrass anybody. I just want the church to see all the, because I prayed and I saw the vision of the whole church coming up. And that's what I want to see today. Man, this is beautiful. Thank you, guys. Man, this is awesome. This is awesome, guys. Yes. God's smiling right now. I know He is. Because this many people in Terrell and in cities live in fear from the freedom of man. What a great work that we can do in the city and the state and the nation. That's awesome. Now, like I said, I'm not a great speaker. I don't have a big pump you up speech. But man, God has given us the tools and He's given us a gift and He's given us the love that we need. We don't need anything else from anybody. So stop worrying about your clothes. Do I look fat? Do I look skinny? Is my hair cut? I don't have any hair to worry about. Yeah, me and Frank, we're on the same page. Walk in the what is God has given you. And each and every one of us are beautiful people. We're not our mistakes. We're not our wrongs. We're sons and daughters of a King. So guys, remember that. If you guys would bow your heads with me, do this a little different. If anybody is here and you heard me talk about the judgment seat of Christ and you're like, man, I don't know. I might fall down in front of God and I'm going to stay there. Just pray this prayer with me. And you look through the Bible, there's not a prayer of salvation. There's not the prayer, a prayer. But if you pray with me on this, I'll try to give you. All the prayer can be is, God, I can't do this on my own and I need you. Where do I go from there? And He'll talk to you. So, Heavenly Father, if there's anybody here in front of me or within the sound of my voice that they just don't know, Father, on that day, you know, what's going to happen? Father, I just ask that they pray now with me that, God, You're big, I'm small. I can't get it right. I've tried to get it right over and over and over again on my own, and I keep seeming to fail. Father, I need You. I need Your grace and Your mercy. And Father, just thank You for sending Jesus to die for me, for my sins, for everyone's sins. And Father, I just I'll lift myself up to You. May You be the guide. May You help me navigate things. And Father, I just want to live a life with You and for You. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Awesome, guys. Thank you guys for standing up. That's all I got, Joey. Do we got some final advertisements?
Since you put everybody up front, then I don't need a microphone for everybody.
Sweet.